lesson, Safety Sunday at Pentecost, from 2 Kings, chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans and one of their raids had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were here with a prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophets had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The psalm this morning is Psalm 111. We will read this together.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by the wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is mindful of his covenant. He has shown
people the power of his works
and given them an heritage of the nations. The work of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption into his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
The second lesson this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not changed. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. If we deny, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God, that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Here ends the reading.
Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me for the children's message.
Go get Pastor D.
Come on up, guys. Good. You about something today. One of my readers here. It's kind of a fancy script, but what does it say on the front of this?
Thank you.
It says thank you. And let me show you another one. I got another one right here. Let's see. You want to try it? It's kind of it's a cursive script, so it might be hard. Maybe Ben can help out a little bit. Let's see. You did the last one. Let's see if Ben can help out. Can you read that one? Thank you so much. Yeah, what are these? What are these?
Cards.
But special, are they birthday cards? No, they're what? They're not birthday cards. Are they Christmas cards? What do you think? You think they're Christmas cards? Well, they say thank you on them. So what kind of cards? They're what cards? They're Jesus. Well, I like that. I wasn't going to say that, but I like, what kind do you think they are?
Thank you cards.
They're thank you cards. But you know what? They are kind of like Jesus cards. In our story today, Jesus healed somebody. He was sick and he healed him. And you know what? He came all the way back and he said to Jesus, he said,
thank you.
He said, thank you. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Because I think Jesus understands it's important for us to be thankful. It's important for us to be gracious. It's important for us to say thank you to God and to one another. And it's something that we need to practice and do all the time, kind of like learning to read or tying your shoes or all those things. We have to work at it. And we have to work at being thankful, too. So who's somebody today that you can say thank you to? Oh, yes, Liam. Who's somebody in your life, a person in your life that you can say thank you to? So, like your best friend? Yeah. What else? Who else could you say thank you to? Yeah. You could say thank you to that guy right there, to Ben? Yeah, and what would you be thankful for? You can say thank you because he shared something with you. That's a great idea.
Move your back there, little one. You got a cousin mischief, are you? Just enough.
Perfect. Okay. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you some work to do, okay? I'm going to give you some work. Are you ready? I'm going to give everybody a thank you card. And here's what I want you to do, okay? I'm going to give everybody a thank you card. Here's yours, Ruby. Liam, here's yours. Can you pass them down? Pass them down. Pass them down. Pass them down. Everybody have a thank you card? Yeah, you might destroy that. That's okay. Okay, so everybody has a thank you card, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Are you ready? I want you to write a thank you card. Now, I know some of you can't write words, but what could you put inside instead of words? What could you put inside? You could write your name and maybe put a picture, and maybe you could ask...
But
could you draw a picture? Do you think your mom or dad could help you write something?
I know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That you're gonna put in your mouth. We're gonna take that. Okay. Yeah. So think about who you could write a thank you card to. And I want you to write, those of you who are writers, maybe do that. Those of you who know how to put your name, you know how to write your name, right? Oh yeah, you do. Any I bet you know
I
how to
write. This in school.
You do, and I bet you could probably even write the words thank you too. Yeah. So that's your job, is to write a thank you card, okay? All right, here, we'll give her this. That's a toy. That's a toy. Everything's a toy when you're a baby. Okay, so we're going to remember that God is asking us to be thankful, not only to him, but to the other people in our lives. So I want you to think about who you can write a thank you card to. And if you do your thank you card during church, and you know who you want to send it to, I even have stamps with me that we can mail it right today. Who? Who? Your best friend. I love it. That's a great one to write a thank you card to. Okay, well, thank you all for coming up, and you can head back to your seats now.
Whoa.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we have much to be thankful for. We pray that in our lives when we're faced with difficulty, we would remember to be gracious and grateful to you and to those in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about being generous and about being grateful. And I actually have two people that I'm grateful for because they helped me formulate what I wanted to say with you this week. One is my brother. And another is a theologian and actually somebody who taught me preaching back when I was in seminary named Dr. David Lopes. He's a pastor as well in the LCA. I was talking with my brother and I was reading some by Dr. Lopes, and I was thinking a little bit about what it means to be grateful. And my brother and I were FaceTiming earlier this week, and he proud of me said, "What if we just take this instance right here? Think of all the things that had to come together. Think of all the things that God had to preordain in order for us to be having this conversation on our cell phones about gratitude, like two time zones apart. And what if we were able to pause and offer words of gratitude for that?" And so it got me thinking about what it means to be gracious. Pastor Lowe's was writing a story in one of the commentaries that I was reading, and he was talking about a colleague of his who, whenever asked the question, "How are you?" his colleague would reply, "I'm grateful." And that kind of made me pause. You know, if I say, "Oh, how are you doing?" "Fine, thanks." "How are you?" "I'm okay." "How are you?" "I'm fine." But if somebody says, "How are you?" and you say, "I'm grateful," all of a sudden there's a little bit of pause. It makes us wonder. It takes it out of that sort of rote and makes it something of substance, something of sustenance,
And I was telling this to my brother, and he reminded me when there were a number of years where he taught in China, and he taught English as a second language. And he taught to little kids, and he was teaching them the sort of, you know, hello, my name is, this is how tall I am, my hair is this color. And when he was teaching greetings, he would ask them, they would come in and he'd say, how are you? And they had to say any word but fine. Because the teacher they had the year before, he taught kind of like intermediate, had taught them how to say, fine, thanks, and you? And so it almost became rote that these kids all answered, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you? And he said, no, different word. And he taught them all these different words. So they had to say, great, lousy, so-so, sick, wonderful. And he had one little student who always came in and said, teacher, I am fantastic. And one time he came in and he had like fallen or something and his arm was all bandaged up and had like a sling and everything. You could see that he'd had a rough play date the day before. And he said, how are you? And he said, teacher, I am so fantastic. But it was this little kid got it, that it was not just a response, but there's something to it. And so when I think of Dr. Lose's colleague who replied, I'm grateful, it gives us pause, doesn't it? To express gratitude automatically brings you beyond yourself. When that person said, I am grateful, or I am thankful, it needs to answer the question, for who? Or for what? If somebody were to answer my question, how are you, with I'm grateful, I would say, what for? Why so? What are you grateful for? And immediately that brings us beyond ourselves. When this Samaritan, this leper, returned with words of thanksgiving, it took him beyond himself. And by the nature of his words and his gestures, it put him in relationship, and it put him in contact and in communion with Jesus Christ. Because any time that we are grateful, we reach beyond ourselves. And I really believe that gratitude, that being gracious, that being thankful is a choice that you have to work on. A few weeks ago, I talked about generosity being a skill that we can work on and practice. The same thing with being grateful. The same thing with being gracious, with being thankful. And it's not always easy. I love that in the video here with the Zambranos, Amanda said, you know, I go to God when I'm in trouble, but I forget when I'm in words of thanks, when things are going well, to thank him. How many of you have the tradition at your Thanksgiving dinner or have been to a Thanksgiving dinner where before you eat, everyone goes around the table and says something they're thankful for? Anybody do that? Some? Any of you do that at every meal? I have yet to find a family that says, yes, every meal we do that. Maybe we pray, maybe, you know, thank you, God, let's eat kind of thing. But we often will do that, or around Thanksgiving we're more grateful and we're more thankful. And I wonder, what if we answered that question, this is what I'm thankful for, every single day? There are people who do that, who keep things called a gratitude journal, where every day they write down or they spend time at the end of their day remembering something they are grateful for. And you may have had a really lousy day. And maybe what you're grateful for is that day is done. Maybe what you're grateful for is that you have a bed to lie down in. Maybe what you're grateful for is that you had food that day. It might be something so basic. But when we are able to reframe what we're grateful for, it changes things. This year at Emmanuel, we're not having our annual Thanksgiving meal. I know we often do that. I'm thankful for, we've got a couple of other celebrations. We have the big 60th anniversary coming up, and we also have the Polsdorfer baby shower. And so we thought, we got a lot of big celebrations coming up, so we're going to just postpone the Thanksgiving dinner for a year. But in the newsletter coming out, I want you to look for something. In the Thanksgiving, in honor of Thanksgiving, I want you to consider some things that you're thankful for. And in the newsletter will be a place for you to have a gratitude journal. It's going to be a small thing that you can cut out that has every day in November, a spot for you to say, I am thankful for. And it's a practice, because we can improve on this. We can choose to be gracious people. You can choose to be angry or upset, or you can choose to be thankful, but you have to work at it. And that doesn't mean that we have to be thankful when things are lousy. But we can practice gratitude, and when we do so, it reframes our situation. I was thinking about Sterling Ditchie's memorial service coming up this Saturday. I'm not thankful that Sterling died. I'm sad by it. I'm sad. I'm missing a friend. I'm missing a wonderful servant of Jesus Christ. But I can be thankful for the 96 years that he gave to this earth. I can be thankful that I got to know him for 10 of those. I can be thankful for the crazy green sports blazer that he wore every Easter. And by that, I can reframe a really sad situation to find what I'm gracious for in that. We need to work on gratitude, that leper in our story, by going back to Jesus. Realize that sometimes we need to say what we're thankful for out loud. He was obviously thankful that he was healed from his illness, but he felt compelled to say it out loud. I am thankful for you, Jesus. And sometimes your pastor makes you say it out loud in church. For all of you introverts out there who are panicking right now, yes, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask you to turn to anybody else. And if there's somebody sitting by themselves, make sure that they get incorporated in this. I want you to tell what you're thankful for. To one other person, say, I am thankful for, or I am grateful for. Maybe you can turn and say, I am grateful that my pastor doesn't do this very often. I'm fine with that. But I'm going to take a moment right now, and I want you all to share what you're grateful for. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm grateful for you. You know that?
I'm grateful that we get to work together.
Me too.
Can you go unplug it? Yeah, just go through it.
Make sure everybody gets covered. Anybody sitting by themselves? Sound booth. Sound booth been covered? Nope, Jeffrey's in the sound booth. Somebody go ask Jeffrey what he's thankful for.
He's thankful
for your job. Yeah. No. That wasn't too terrible, was it? Participated in the biblical story. You have shared what you are thankful for, and you, just like that man who came back expressing gratitude and praising God, you have grown and stretched and participated in God's gratitude. Jesus' response when that one man came back is probably what a lot of us would have said. When he sees that one man come back, he says, wait, weren't there more of you? Weren't there 10 of you? 9 just forgot to come back? Well, Dr. Lowe's, who told this story about the grateful colleague, writes a sentiment that I agree with here and I wanted to share with you. He says, at this point in the story, I'm curious. Is Jesus confused, do you think? Or hurt? Or maybe a little peeved? Or disappointed? Or even angry? Frankly, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that Jesus gets over it pretty quickly. He shifts his attention to the one who is in front of him. And he offers this blessing, saying, get up, and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Because we are, I believe, made for gratitude. It completes us, and it saves us, and it transforms us and makes us whole. The one leper who returned to give thanks knew that. And Jesus knew that. And now, people of Emmanuel, I hope that you know that too. Be made whole in Jesus Christ. Be people of gratitude. Amen. Yeah.